This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Good evening, this is Prison Pipeline on KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland. I'm Carlos Chavez. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. Tonight, we listen to part two of my radio journalism class highlights from 2012. For those of you who aren't already familiar, I teach a radio journalism class at McLaren Youth Correctional Facility in Woodburn, Oregon, the largest youth corrections facility in the state of Oregon. Each of my students works hard on their units to earn and maintain the right to participate in my class, as well as other educational and creative groups that are offered through the HOPE Partnership program there. These classes expose youth to new creative outlets and important skills that they'll be able to take with them when they're eventually released. Tonight's program will focus on one of my students' first field recording assignments within the McLaren facility. Field recording gives the youth an opportunity to practice their interviewing skills out in the field or during an event, in this case, a ceremony. My student chose to do his piece on the sweat lodge that's active twice a week on campus. This is a Lakota-style sweat lodge that's run by Steve Yanez, a Native American service coordinator who's with the Office of Minority Services at McLaren. He's known by the youth and staff there as Grandpa, and he facilitates Native programs on campus, such as the Drum Circle, the Two Spirits Group, Aztec Dance, as well as annual Aztec ceremonies, to name a few things.
All right, this is Paul, and I'm here with McLaren Community Voice, and I'm here at Sweat Lodge with Grandpa, which is Steve Yanez. So, Grandpa, what can you tell us about Sweat Lodge? What is Sweat Lodge in the first place?
Well, Sweat Lodge is an inipi. It's a Lakota ceremony. It's about purification. It's you come here to let go of whatever it is that's bothering you or weighing heavy in your mind, your spirit. You know, you come here to the sweat to get rid of that, to, you know, to start over again, or ask for help, or ask for clarity or understanding. Their strength, you know, it gives you the opportunity to come here and put that here on the grandfathers, you know, leave it here, or like I was taught, if you want to take it back with you, keep it a while longer, you could also do that too. It's your choice.
All right. So, what is this McLaren Sweat Lodge actually at?
It's here at the McLaren Youth Correctional Facility. It's actually been here for like 17 years. There's been other people that were here before me. I've been here now 7 years. And it's moved a couple of times. I think initially was at in an area called SITP grounds, and then it moved out here to this part here, which is right in front of the clinic here at McLaren. And it's actually a nice area. You know, surrounded by one of our most awesome medicines, the cedar trees. Our one-legged brothers here, so it's almost kind of like a blessing to have it right here in this place.
All right, I've been coming here since 09, since I got to this facility. So, and I really like it here. I mean, it's nice. It gives you, like, every person has a different meaning to it, what they come from. What does it mean to you?
To me, it's just a place For me, my recovery, I got my recovery in a sweat lodge. I changed my life and it started at the sweat lodge. And from the sweat lodge, it took me to the Chinupa, the White Buffalo Calf Pipe, where I smoked it. And it was given to me, and they asked me, well, okay, here, smoke this Chinupa, make the prayer, and what is your prayer, and what is it you want to do? And that's how it took me. It took me to the we call the Red Road, a different path in my life. And next thing I know, I found myself working here in McLaren with young men like you. I figured I could help with my experiences in life, how to find that path that's more balanced and more healthy, and by using the lodge as a means to connect you guys to your culture. Like for yourself, my grandson here is he's not native, he's from Uzbekistan, and yet he embraces this as another mean to make that connection to being human, to being spiritual, you know. And this lodge here has accepted people of all nations. We've had young men here who come and pray in Gaelic, in Russian, in Hebrew, in Muslim, Arabic language, Hispanics, whites, about every single culture there is has come here to pray and find that balance in their life. More part of a holistic type of treatment, dealing with the whole person, body, mind, and spirit.
All right, can you go more in, or can you tell us more about what your life was like before you became a more spiritualized attached and started doing the sweat lodge and ceremonies?
Oh my God, that is a... Let's just say that I used to be a person that would take... I was a taker. You know, I would take souls and destroy them. I've been a drug dealer for many years. I've been an outlaw motorcycle biker for many years. And I was outside my culture, outside who I am. I'm just a product of the American way of life. And it took me a long time to find my way to the culture here. And actually, for me, it actually started with picking up the book, The Teachings of Don Juan by Carlos Castaneda. And the curiosity of changing my life, something that kind of like planted a seed. And I was no longer happy being this urban Indian, you know, who was going to be, you know, like everybody else in the system. Just a carbon copy of what society thinks you should, when you're young, what you should be like. And when I got into these ways, that started to change. I actually cold turkeyed. I just stopped doing drugs, stopped living the life. I walked away from the motorcycle club, and I gave my Harley away and my leathers and everything having to do with that life, and I walked away and never looked back. And I went all the way, left the city in the Bay Area, in San Jose, Fremont, California, and ended up at the Yurok Reservation in Northern California, and that's where I met the greatest human being I've ever known, and I married her. Is my wife, Gloria Brooks, who's been a sun dancer for many years, and I say she saved my life. She says there's no way anybody has that kind of power, but I think she did. And she just told me, well, she says, I can be your woman or I can be your teacher. And I says, well, be my woman, just point me to the teachers. And she pointed me to people that I could meet, you know, like Jack Lawson, Philip Archambault, Tim Lobato, Luta, people like that that have been instrumental in helping me connect to this culture. And next thing I know, I was doing the Sundance ceremonies and making those sacrifices and did my ceremony in the McDermott, which is it's a tough place because I'd never been to one before. I had no idea how tough that was. But with prayer and living a good life, Creator was kind to me. And many sweats and a vision quest later, here I am working with this young man, and it's like this. Everything I say or do, somebody else already wrote a book about it, made a buoy about it, made a documentary about it or presentation. So nothing I have is original to offer other than my own life story and what I learned from it. And I kind of, this is what I bring to the table with these boys here, is sharing with them what I learned from the things I did, and how, you know, kind of like what they say about McTomy and the coyote in some cultures, you know, the tricksters. Well, Creator gave us them so that we would learn what not to do. Well, maybe I can share a little bit about my story with these young men to help them what not to do, and maybe they can have them. My purpose in life is to awaken their conscience, connect them back to their culture, and so that when they leave this place, they don't come back to this place where they, so they can become great sons, honorable sons, fathers, citizens of the community, honor their own people by their actions, because actions are the mirror that reflects who you truly are, and give them the opportunity to learn these things by using the sweat lodge as a means to make that connection and awareness.
It sounds like sweat lodge and other spiritual activities you didn't help you out with your life. What do you think? Do you see it happening here with the young adults being locked up here in community group in sweat lodge? Do you see it on the everyday basis?
I see their lives change, those who apply and listen, because I believe that there's no way you can teach anybody anything if they're not ready to listen. But those that are ready to listen learn something, and they become aware of certain things about themselves, and they start to change, because everyone is innately born good. It's just things that happen to them from the time they came from the womb to the time they walked into these gates here that make them, you know, who they thought they were. But it's not, you know, what they are. They're human beings. And as everybody has probably knows, that we are spiritual beings trying to be human. You know, and they just, it's a struggle, because these young men are influenced by so much in life that their minds are constantly being bombarded, you know, through sound or through image or through feelings and emotions, commercialization, that have all these things that are battling to hook their attention and make them think, well, this is what it's like to be young in America, but it's just a big lie. So hopefully they become aware and they open up their minds and they open up their hearts. And like I try to teach him here, you know, you got to quiet the mind, because it's just full of a lot of useless noises, and listen with your heart and let that guide you, because that's where Creator lives.
What exactly happens in the sweat lodge?
In the sweat lodge, the traditional sweat, it has 28 grandfathers. You would know them as stones. Some people call them rocks. We don't. We respect them. They are stones. They are the oldest living thing on earth, because they come from the volcano. They're lava stones. Lava comes from the center of the earth, you know, the core. And they've traveled for many, many, many years to the top of that volcano, and then off to the side is lava, and then they dry up, and they heat up and dry up and freeze up by the temperatures of the weather and time. And by the time they get down halfway down the mountain by the rivers, we go get them, they're just nice stones, you know, just a good size, about the size of two fists together, or maybe even a human head. And those are about the size perfect for the sweat. And they've lived a long time, so they've been around a while, and they know a thing or two, so we ask them for help. And I know some people go, oh, so you have a lot of gods. No, we don't have a lot of gods. There's only a belief that Creator is in everything, and everything has energy. And when we go to the lodge, we draw energy from all those things, from these grandfathers, from the grass, from the flowers, from the trees, from the birds, and even the little moles and the little gophers underneath the lodge burrowing around in there. And around here we have lots of them. Even their energy, we channel it into the lodge to help us with these prayers. And we bring in those, a lodge is traditional, is four doors. We heat up these stones for about 2 hours and make them nice and comfortable like the day they were born, you know, lava. And we bring in seven grandfathers in, and we close the door, and we sing some sacred songs and pour water on the stones and make that steam that makes it nice and hot and warm and comfortable, and prepare ourselves to invite the spirits to come in and help us. And then we do it again. We open the door, we bring seven more, and we share our prayers and what we're going to be, you know, asking for. We talk to Creator and talk to the four helpers from the four directions. We talk to our ancestors who come to be with us and help us out. And then we do it again, and we bring in another seven for the third door, and we sing some songs and make some prayers. And then on the fourth door, we bring the last seven grandfathers. We close the door, and we say thank you to the spirits and our ancestors who've come to help us. And it's called the sending round, where we closing round, where we say thank you, and we send them off on their way. The door opens up, and the steam rises up, and takes our prayers up to Wombly Spotted Eagle, and takes it to the Creator. You know, we know this, that our prayers have been answered. Of course, if you don't think that that didn't happen, then you're probably right, nothing happened. That to those people, it's probably just a sauna, but they'd be in error.
All right, for me, I've been learning a lot, and for me, it's every time I experience, like you said, it's about the grandfathers and all everything to the little tiny insects. It for me, it means to respect and see God were created and everything. So kind of see animals and everything that makes your heart happy, because you know the Creator is there no matter what.
It is. You have a very good awareness, grandson, of what that's supposed to be like. That's the whole point of this place, is for these young men to come here and have that awareness, to be aware of the connectedness of all things, that we're not really just individuals, that we are, you know, as it's been said before, just this, one of the strands in the web of life. You know, together we all make life.
Yeah. Well, other things I see here is when people come in, there's 12 cottages on this campus, and when people come in from different cottages, because every time this group is different. And in the beginning, there's kind of like separation. And then at the end of the sweat, it's all the group is like one.
It is. As you can see right now, as we're talking, some people are maintaining the fire, making sure the stones don't cover it. Others are chopping, kindling, working on kindling, and making sure there's enough wood to continue for the ceremony. A young man over there is just feeling good about, you know, playing the hand drum, you know, and people are having conversations that are relevant to this moment here. It's like a community. It's a sacred circle. Young man here is like joining a sacred brotherhood, you know, where we all have one mind, you know, one body in that circle once we go in there. What I see here is a community. I see here, you know, young men, there's an Asian, there's a white, there's a Mexican, you know, and you, grandson, Uzbekistanian, Asian. There's various cultures here, and all here for the same purpose, to make that connection.
Yeah. So what do you suggest to people who never tried it before?
Well, don't read about it. Experience it.
After Pavel's conversation with Grandpa, he moves over to the campfire whether lava rock referred to as our ancestors or our grandparents, are being prepared for the sweat.
So we're here with Nisner on this sweat lodge. That's nice fire you put up, man. So I want to ask you, how many years you been coming to sweat now?
Around 5, 6.
So how did it feel the first time, remember?
Scary, in a way.
In a way? What about just, after all? Yeah,
afterwards, you feel amazing and just like weight's been lifted off your shoulders.
Nice. So now 5 years later, what do you think was gonna, like, how you feel every time you're coming in now for sweat?
I just prepared, like, you know that your warriors can stay and you can go home feeling free.
Nice. What do you experience during sweat lodge?
Concentration, mostly. Like, it's a lot of hot heat, just going everywhere, and just can't think about that. You gotta think about what you're there to pray about, and just focus hard.
Nice. Yep. Thank you, Francis.
You're welcome.
Okay, all right, Sam. So, I heard your first time was last week, right? That you came to sweat lodge?
2 weeks ago, yes.
2 weeks ago. So how do you feel that again?
I felt that it helped me in the long run due to, you know, I'm doing a lot better on the unit, and it helps me spiritual-wise. It helps me bring out my feelings, you know, to other peers that I need to throw out there, you know. And so yeah, it just helps me out a lot, you know, with everything that I got stuck inside me, you know. It helps relieve my stress, you know, helps, you know, with mind, body, and spirit.
Well, I see on the unit, you definitely start doing better since you start coming to sweat lodge. This is only your third week.
Third week.
So what do you think you're going to be? Keep doing better and keep coming here?
Most definitely. I'm going to be coming here if Grandpa is willing to put me on the list for every sweat lodge there is. And I am going to continue to do better, you know.
Are you involved in any other groups?
Other besides church services, Sunday services, that's about it.
What do you think, which ones out of all the groups do you like this one better?
I'd have to choose this one, you know, because this one, it's not only fun, but, you know, it's relaxing.
Yeah, I feel it, because that's the same way I feel, because that's why I come here every time, because it helps me, it helps you, and I see you being helping other people throughout the years since I've been here. So, thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
The sweat is a sacred place on campus where the youth have a chance to reflect and renew. This place is an important space for the youth to pray and to broaden their perspectives on the world that they take part in. Another outlet that the youth have on campus is to make music. Through their raps, they get a chance to let feelings off their chest and to reflect. The youth prepare songs to perform at events on campus, celebrating their heritage for their families and friends that come out to share in these events. I'll cap off tonight's program with one of their latest songs titled Nearly to the Top.
Life on the come up wasn't easy, so we struggled. Almost working the field while my capito working double. I'm introduced to the life of crime after school causing trouble. Put down a little, but on a little down, it's rough like castle. Then you wonder, how did someone like me overcome the pain and hunger? I'm headed farther than any of you ever thought that I go. I'm just so subtle. I was striving for the top, now best believe I'm past the ceiling. You haters keep on trying to hold me down with lots of city. Must be tripping on the fact I'm coming up and you still wishing to be just where I'm at, but it's all envy that you're feeling. Neglect to recognize is by those who ain't faking. We're living a life of crime, but what we've been through, we are sharing. You never feel the pain, cause in our shoes you've never been in. I cultivated the seed that was planted as a mortal. While accumulating my own fate, I never had to borrow. Can't deny it was a struggle, always falling into the puddle. But I got myself back up, mistakes have only made me stronger. The lessons that I've learned throughout my life never been easy. Nevertheless, I've never been pleasing. I'm headed to the top, and I'll take some ladders just to reach me.
Although I may not live right, it's about that time I get.
Growing up, they always held us down. Now we're nearly to the top, try to stop us now.
Although I may not live right, it's about that time I get mine.
It's about that time. Growing up, they always
never gonna change, homie. A lot of fakes and snakes, they always hating on me. 'Cause I'm headed to the top now. I got my foot on the pedal and I ain't slowing down. On the one-way street to getting money now. And I'm trying to stack it tall like that boy, yeah. Mean, funny how friends become enemies. Whether it's over girls or if it's over greed. But when you look at it, they both the same thing. They both addictive and tend to come between. One's relationship hating 'cause they ain't making it. Call themselves real, but my guess is that they faking it. 'Cause their words and their action is never adding up. Big body in the streets, that's a Mack truck. And all the haters on the sideline get passed up. Oh, you tryna do some dirt, you better mask up. 'Cause them friends really foes, they a switch up. Now you sitting doing time while they stacking up. Damn, I guess that's just a lifestyle. Now we nearly to the top, try to stop us now.
Although I may not live right, it's about that time I get mine.
Growing up, they always held us down. Now we nearly to the top, try to stop us now.
Look how I'm nearly to the top and got them hating the style. Why? Because you see me and all my face is a smile. I should have known this would be happening. Backstabbing and laughing coming from the back. So cowardly, switching on me so randomly. Shoulders are crossed so suddenly. It's like what happened, all these faces make it hard to see. They double headed and invested with pure jealousy. But like I said, it's what's expected from my fellow peeps. Seeking to see all of my goals and I've died slow. Put the pedal to the flow as I'm fighting and want more. No, homie, I'ma stand up and push till I get it. Sometimes you gotta learn to man up and grapple your visions. Make a decision to finish business. I'm motive and vicious 'cause wishes only take you so far. Need to extend it, blend it with the plan to go far. Make it a gimmick with no limits, no resistance or any petty assistance. Don't get it twisted by any means except a hand. But be aware of consequences due to selfish man. The ones who helped you get it cracking when you started off just might be in fact the same exact ones who will call it off.
Although I may not live right, it's about that time I get mine.
Growing up they always held us down. Now we nearly to the top, try to stop us now.
Although I may not live right, it's about that time I get mine.
Growing up they always held us down. Now we nearly to the top, try to stop us now. Try it.
They try to hold us down, but now they can't stop us now. Oh, 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 yeah. They try to hold us down, but now they can't stop us now. No, oh, oh.
That was part two of a small series I put together highlighting the work of my radio journalism students from McLaren Youth Correctional Facility. You've been listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO 90.7 FM. For more details or to download this audio, log on to kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Thanks for listening.
This Valentine's Day, KBOO presents the Alfred Hitchcock movie, Rear Window, plus a pre-show performance by Portland's favorite late-night talk show host, Contessa de la Luna. That's Valentine's Day starting at 7 p.m. for Contessa de la Luna live on stage, followed by the film Rear Window. Doors open at 6:30 at the Clinton Street Theater, 26th and Southeast Clinton in Portland. Tickets are available now at Brown Paper Tickets. Seating is limited. 100% of ticket sales go to KBOO for this benefit spectacular. See events under the KBOO website for February 14th, Valentine's Day. See you there.
Last night I heard the screaming, loud voices behind the wall. Another sleepless night for me, it won't do no good to call the police. Always come late if they come at all.
I'm Lisa Swart. I spent 12 years in prison on a manslaughter charge. I shot my abuser to save my life and my children's lives after law enforcement failed to protect us. I'm just one of many women who are battered, then re-victimized by the judicial system. Hear my story on Prison Pipeline, February 18th at 6:30 p.m.
Thank you. KBOO Community Radio is proud to sponsor the Portland premiere of Who Bombed Judy Berry at the Clinton Street Theater, Wednesday, February 13th. The film will play at both 7 p.m. and 9:15. This new documentary covers the 1990 bomb attack on two Northern California environmental activists, which still remains unsolved. The film is a compelling tribute to Berry, a fiery speaker whose background as a union organizer put her in a unique position to bridge the cultural divide between forest activists and rank-and-file loggers.
I knew it was a bomb the second that it exploded. I felt it rip through me with just a force more powerful and terrible than anything that I could describe.
Again, that's Wednesday, February 13th at the Clinton Street Theater. More information may be found at kboo.fm/Berry2013.
February 7, 2013. KBOO Navigator Report. On Valentine's Day, Contessa de la Luna is bringing a spectacular show, complete with music, games, prizes, and the classic movie Rear Window, to the Clinton Street Theater. 100% of the proceeds will benefit KBOO. Visit kboo.fm for details. Kaboom! 2013 is KBOO's 45th anniversary. Huge celebration plans are underway that will totally rock Portland. We are seeking unique and wonderfully creative artwork for our commemorative t-shirts and posters. Email navigator@kboo.org if you are interested in donating your services and having your work associated with this historic event. A Navigator communications team is forming. If you are someone who can take direction, has initiative, good follow-through, and has excellent written and verbal communication skills, and you have 2 to 4 hours each week to contribute